10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to part 4 of News from the Wall 17, already in progress. Now, in this session, I'm going to talk about some very serious things. It's going to be a continuation of the present warning. And in this series, we've been talking about how America is morphing into the new creature, Mystery Babylon. And we've been dissecting the events that are going to happen. We've been looking at the scriptures. We've been looking at some of the current events happening within government. And we're putting all the pieces together. We're looking at it through the natural and through the spiritual and also through Bible prophecy. And that's an exercise that is required because we need to find understanding and wisdom, and that's what we're doing. So as we watch America morph into this mysterious creature, the daughter of Babylon, I have been observing that when a divine judgment happens to a nation, in the physical realm, we can see the representation of the judgment occur in the lives of people and in the decisions of national policy. It plays out in a variety of ways. In the end times, the world will no longer be the same. It will change. But while these things are going on, the Holy Spirit of God is also doing His work. He's calling out to the hearts of many people, and He's wooing them, and He's drawing them to come back to Him. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the heart of the message of this ministry, answering that call and meeting Jesus at the foot of the cross. So my friends, as I share these things, please know the purpose isn't just to be scary, and the purpose is not just to be entertaining. The purpose is to challenge and to inform and to notify, because as a watchman of God, I'm up here on the wall and I see these things coming. It's my job to relay this information to you so that you can process it, pray about it, and be informed by it. A lot of things are coming, folks. They're approaching this planet, and when they arrive, they're going to strike America, but they're also going to strike other parts of this world. Now, as I have stated in the past, I do not always share the visions that God gives me. Why? Well, it's because I wait on Him so that I can get the right timing. Because timing matters, I need to share these things and announce them with the correct words. So today, I'm going to share several of them. So ladies and gentlemen, please take notes. For those of you that may wonder what keeps a person like me motivated, because I've seen it. I've seen some of the coming history of America and of the world occur already through dreams and visions. And when a person experiences this, it's very real. It's valid. The sounds that I hear when I have a prophetic dream are in surround sound. They shake the ground. Folks, it's very impactful. And when I have a glimpse and a prophetic dream from the Holy Spirit, I also feel the emotions that go along with the vision. I experience sadness, fright, terror, grief, sorrow, panic, and at times I even tremble. In fact, at times the trembling is so pronounced that it wakes me up. I wake up trembling. And these things are not entertainment. I take these things very seriously, and when they occur, I ponder them, and I pray about them. There are other individuals that I share these things with to get their discernment, so I don't just decide these things by myself. I always seek discernment from others. Now, I want to say this up front, folks. I know that there are some of you out there that have a hard time with what I'm saying right now. I know that there are some of you that resist this gift. You deny it, and there are many reasons that you deny it. And I've talked about the reasons why, and I don't want to go into that, but I want to say this. I know you're out there, and some of you even mock this warning message. And sadly, there are even some of you that hate me for sharing it. Some of you have the attitude in your heart that's almost venomous with hatred. You want to kill the messenger. And if this is you, so be it. I can't change your mind. I can't take that monkey off of your back. If I could, I would, but I can't, because the blindness is in your eyes. It's not in my eyes, so, ladies and gentlemen, let the record show that the unbelief that is in the hearts of those who would seek to mock and scoff the end-time warning message, I just have this to say, woe unto those that refuse to listen, because there's going to be a price. Because, folks, there's always a price. There's always a cost for the believer and for the unbeliever. But I would rather be hidden with God than shackled to the philosophies of men that doubt and deny the end-time gifts of the Spirit. So, as I share these things, I have a caveat that I also want to disclose. If you receive these things that I'm going to share, and if you take the time to ponder them and pray about them, and if you are willing to place them on the table for discernment and consideration, which is what you should be doing anyway, you should do that, folks. Take the time to pray about these things I share. But if you do that and you receive it and you believe it, then that means that you're going to have to start dealing with those things now. If this warning that I am sharing is true and valid and these events are approaching, then that means that those of you that believe it need to do some soul searching. You need to be taking inventory. You need to be addressing the things that matter in your life that are going to be affected by these events as they arrive. So that means we all have homework, folks. And that's why I'm sharing this message, because we do all have homework. And time's running out. Time's growing short. And these events are barreling down the track like a bullet train. But if, on the other hand, you choose to deny these things, well, it's going to mean that you will have to deal with these events later. So whichever way we choose, if you choose to receive them and deal with them now, then you have to prepare for them now. But if you deny it, you're going to be dealing with them later, folks. There's no way out of this. We are all going to participate in this judgment. And whichever way we choose, whether you sit on the fence, whether you're on the sideline scratching your head wondering if I'm making this stuff up, you're still going to deal with it. And dealing with it is not easy. I know that. So again, ladies and gentlemen, pray about these things and ask God about them. By the way, as I share them, there's a possibility that there are some of you out there that it's going to provide confirmation to some things that God has shown you. I know that there are many of you that God has been also revealing things to, supernaturally in the Spirit. And some of you have wondered about them. Some of you have kept them to yourself. Some of you have tried to share them with your loved ones, friends, people in church. And for some of you, you've been met with mocking and scoffing and denial and rejection, mistreatment, dismissal. And I know that it's difficult. So as I share some of these dreams and visions that I have experienced, perhaps for some of you, they will provide confirmation of the same things that God has shown you. So here we go, folks. Now, some of the things that God revealed to me several years ago, I filed away, and at the time I wondered at the meaning. Some of them appeared unbelievable, but that's what happens during judgment. When the judgment of God arrives, the events appear unbelievable. But then reality strikes, and it reveals that it's true. So as these things arrive in the United States and in the world, the general population is going to witness them. And when they do, the sights are going to melt their hearts with dismay, with shock, with horror, and with grief. There will be initial reactions to these things when they arrive. But then after the dust settles, and after the initial pause goes away, then comes the post-traumatic stress, the mental trauma, and the confusion from all of the people who do not know what to do. You know, there are a lot of people that are talking about prepping. Prepping seems to be growing in popularity in the United States, and a lot of people talk about it. I've seen some of those programs, those prepper shows, where the people show their inventory of stuff. They show all their food and their weapons and their bullets, all arranged neatly on shelves hidden underground, in Connex steel containers, in root cellars, in basements. And a lot of people who are prepping have their stuff. But after the events start, after the gun is shot from the starting line and the race to survival begins, it will be at that moment when all of those preppers will actually find out if they are truly preppers. That's going to be the moment where they find out if they have what it takes. It's going to be after the commencement of doom's arrival where people will find out the state of their mental health and their ability to cope and make decisions in the eyes of panic. So after the event starts, Then we have the post-event phase. And it's going to be in these moments where all of us are going to witness the behavior of American citizens. And in the choices of their behavior, we're going to watch many people forget their manners, their scruples, and their humanity. We're going to watch with surprise and disappointment friends, acquaintances, neighbors, people that we once knew and thought were good citizens become barbaric. And it's in these moments, ladies and gentlemen, where you will find out what you're made of. It will be in these moments where you will find out the priorities that you have pre-established in your heart. And for those that have not done their homework initially and prepared for all of these things, for those that took these things lightly, for those that dismissed the Word of God and the importance of the Bible in their day-to-day walk with God, some of the individuals that didn't do their spiritual homework will reveal themselves as spiritual misfits. Some of those people will become canines in their actions and resort to the life of dog-eat-dog. In those days, it'll be very sad. There's going to be many people that will give an exhibition that they have forgotten their Maker, that they have forgotten the Bible. And how many people out there will justify their behavior under the excuse of, well, you got to do what you got to do. But you know what, folks? Many of those that will choose to resort to thuggery and piracy are usually the same ones who ignored the initial warning. Why? Well, it's because their hearts were already clouded in their judgment. Nathan, how do you know this? That's not very nice. Well, the reason I know this, ladies and gentlemen, is because the Bible tells us this. Jeremiah warned for 40 years, and his warning was met with unbelief. And then, finally, when doom arrived, when Jerusalem was surrounded by the Babylonians, and when the citizens of Judah knew that they weren't going to win, and they knew that they were under siege, and finally they knew that Jeremiah was right. I wonder how many of those people came to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, I wish I listened to you. I wish that I had believed you. How many did that? Well, according to the scriptures, not many. In fact, very few. Because the same ones who mocked and scoffed him before Babylon arrived were the same ones who took Jeremiah and threw him down into the cistern as a punishment. You know, folks, I find that amazing. While Jerusalem was surrounded by Babylon, the man of God was still being mistreated by the spiritual knuckleheads of Jerusalem. They still hated him. They still mocked him. And get this, folks, the only one who defended Jeremiah when he was thrown down into the cistern and helped him out was a humble non-Israelite, an Ethiopian, an African. He was the only one. And after the armies of Babylon busted through the walls and tore the gate off of its hinges in Jerusalem, God supernaturally protected the Ethiopian. Now, this account is found in Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 15. So if you want to read it, you can go there and read it. In fact, let me just read a few of these verses. Folks, listen to this. After the Ethiopian had rescued Jeremiah and Babylon's army was occupying Jerusalem, God sent a word to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 39:15, it says, meanwhile, the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for adversity and not for good, and they shall be performed in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. So there you go, folks. The hand of the Lord protected those who watched after the messengers of God and the prophets of God. The hand of the Lord gave favor to those who took care of the messengers of God. So let's bring this equation to the present. As you know, God has raised up messengers in these last days, watchmen, scribes, voices, preachers, servants, anointed ones, and many of these people have been shown glimpses of things that are coming. And that's what this ministry is about, to shout from the wall the things that are coming. But I have this question for the individuals out there who would deny this message and who are filled with unbelief and who would mock and scoff the warning from the Holy Spirit. Allow me to say something bold right now. If For those of you out there that would mock and scoff this warning, please know that if you're mocking me, and if you're mocking the warning of Watchman's Cry, and you're correct, if you're correct in your assessment that somehow I'm crazy and I'm making this stuff up, well, then I guess you have nothing to worry about, do you, my blind, unbelieving friend? Because in your eyes, I'm just a crazy man. And the years are going to come and go, and nothing's going to happen. The words of this warning will not happen, according to you. And if it turns out that way, then I guess you'll be vindicated, won't you? And I guess that my grave marker will say, Nathan Liao, the crazy man, who thought the sky was falling, but it never happened. Now, folks, I'm just using intellectual honesty here. That's one of the potentials. But, let me say this, folks. If I am a true servant of God, a watchman, and a messenger with a legitimate warning from the Holy Ghost and the Creator of heaven and earth, but still you mock this warning and dismiss it as being untrue, and you crucify me with your slanderous words, then please know, God is the witness in these matters. And God is going to judge the actions. And when he does, he's going to judge with righteousness. And righteousness is defined as God rewarding justice and punishing evil. And my unbelieving, mocking friends that are out there, I would not want to be in your shoes. Because this message is true, and because events have already revealed it as being true, I would not want to be in your shoes. In fact, I feel sorry for you. And worse, I feel sorry for your family. Nathan, do you really? Yes, I do. Because the family members of the mockers and scoffers may find themselves also paying part of the price. And that's sad, because they didn't have a choice. And folks, to tear down a legitimate word from the Lord is a very serious offense. Well, Nathan, how do you know that your warning's legitimate? That's a fair question, but my message has been on record for years, and it has stood the test of time. And many of the things that God has already warned about are now in motion. And those that have the eyes to see can see it. But those that are blind and those without the eyes to see, well, they'll never see. And it doesn't matter what I say. And it doesn't matter how much I scream and try to argue and try to convince. It doesn't matter how many YouTubes I show proving that some of the prophetic warnings are already in motion by this ministry. It doesn't matter what I do, because the mockers and scoffers aren't going to believe it. But thank God that Jesus has opened many of your eyes. I know that there are many faithful ones out there listening to this message. And I know that some of you bear witness with this information in this late hour, because God has also shown you some of the things that are coming. And you've seen them. You've seen some of the glimpses. Some of you have had visions and dreams. Visions in the night. Some of you were overwhelmed and full of the Holy Ghost and God showed up. Some of you were on your knees in your prayer closet and God showed up and revealed things to you. And some of you have seen these things with tears in your eyes. Some of you have seen these things and the sights have overwhelmed you. And you can bear witness that these things are coming. So God bless those of you that are a part of the faithful remnant. And may God strengthen you and keep you in this late hour as the battle rages and continues, and as the enemy tries to knock you down and discourage you, because you know how difficult it can be to see these things and to know them, but then to have others deny it when you share it with them. But folks, you know, I fear that time is running out. I fear that the envelope of opportunity is growing smaller. My friends, there are so many things that are approaching. There's so many things that are now at the door. The Babylonians are banging on the gate, and the invaders are tearing down the walls of the city, overturning the bricks, pulling down the pillars, and crushing the foundations of America with a sledgehammer. And the sound of this destruction is now shaking the ground, and the dust is rising in the air, and it's becoming hard to breathe in the lingering powder of debris. But folks, we are God's people. You're his child. You are his called out one. And he sees you where you are. He sees your tears, your discouragement, and for some of you, your heartache. He sees your concern. Folks, there are so many emotions represented by the listening audience to this program. And I know that it's hard in this late hour, but ladies and gentlemen, Jesus can carry the burden. So please give it to him. Now, as I was saying, for several years, I've been visited with night visions and glimpses of things that are coming. Some of them I've published, some I've spoken about on these programs and on other programs. So let's talk about them right now. The first category falls under earth changes. And in this category, I have seen some events that involve tsunamis and storms, and I'm going to talk about those. The next category involves signs in the heavens. I've seen some comets or meteors flying across the sky, and I'm going to talk about that. And then the other category falls under war, and I've seen several battles take place in different portions of America where our military was involved, and I saw some of the aircraft that was involved. I saw the weaponry that was used. I saw the other nations that were involved, so I'm going to talk about that. And I've also seen another category that has to do with occupation, meaning occupation by foreign troops, by soldiers who have come into America. I've seen them, folks. We're going to talk about that. And I also have another category that falls under visions, and this category occurred for the first time. Because for the most part, I consider myself a watchman for the nation of America, for the United States. I do not consider myself a messenger for Europe or Asia or South America, Australia, etc. However, from time to time, I have seen some events occur in other parts of the world. And a few weeks ago, I experienced a vision where I saw an event happen in the nation of France, and I'm going to talk about that. For those of you that live in Europe, I saw battles occur in your part of the world. And then in the remaining minutes, I will mention possibly some others. It just depends on how much time we have. So I want to start with the category of earth changes. Over the past several years, I have had approximately 5 different tsunami dreams. I have wondered if the tsunami dreams represented symbolic things, if they were spiritual, were they literal? One of the first ones that I had was about 4 years ago, and in this dream, I was in Galveston, Texas. I was driving a van along the seawall of Galveston. I saw that a high wave was approaching. I wanted to seek high ground. Unfortunately, in Galveston, it's pretty much all level ground. But as I was driving along the seawall, I saw a bridge, and the bridge went higher in elevation, so I was trying to get to it. But before I had a chance, the first wave hit. And when that happened, the water was about 2 feet deep, but I still kept on driving. And then another wave started to come, and it happened pretty quickly. And when the second one hit, the water was about 5 to 6 feet deep. But in the dream, the van could continue. It didn't stop. It didn't die out. So as I continued, I looked to the architecture that was along the seawall. I saw what appeared to be a lumber yard, and all of the lumber that was tied together in units was floating on the water. And then next to the lumber yard was a refinery, and I saw that the refinery was now underwater. So the water was getting higher. And then I saw another wave that was approaching, and this wave was 15 to 20 feet high. But I kept on driving my van, and then it hit. But I continued driving this van until I reached the bridge, and then the bridge came out of the water because it was higher in elevation. And in the dream, this bridge maintained its height, and I was able to escape from Galveston and then go into Houston. And when I arrived in Houston, I was then notified that a storm was coming, and the storm was going to hit all of the area. It was going to hit Houston, Galveston. The flooding was coming. The tsunami was coming. So this dream had a tsunami, and it had a major storm. And so then the dream was over, and after I was awakened, I thought about it, and I wondered if those tsunami waves were part of the hurricane storm that was coming. But the thing about the tsunami waves is they came in increments. And usually when the shoreline of a coastal city is affected by a hurricane, the waves do not impact the shoreline with tidal waves. Usually with a hurricane, the floodwaters will arrive in a coastal city in what's called a storm surge. It doesn't arrive as a tidal wave. So I had that dream, and I filed it away. I wasn't sure about it. And then I had another prophetic dream where I was on a beach, and I wasn't sure where I was located. But this beach also had a seawall similar to the one in Galveston, which raised the level of the city about 20 to 30 feet. And then there was a beach area, which was about 300 yards long from the seawall to the shore. I was with my family, and my family set up a tent on the beach. And while they were sleeping, I decided not to sleep. And it was probably 2 or 3 in the morning. And then I saw that the shoreline had defied its boundary. And as it approached, it was only about 6 inches high. but it came on pretty quick. So since I was awake and I was sitting on the seawall, I saw the waters approaching and I ran down to where the tent was where my family was sleeping, and I woke them up and we tried to grab some of the equipment, but it was too late because there was already 6 inches of water all around the tent. So as they woke up, we ran to the seawall, which was about 100 yards away, and we got to the seawall, and then a second wave came in. And when the second wave came in, it was about 5 or 6 feet deep, but it made it all the way to the seawall. So between the first and second wave, the waters were rising very quickly. So we started to run away from the seawall. We got on the regular part of the highway, and then we got into a vehicle, and we were trying to escape. And it was then that I saw another tsunami wave that was approximately 20 to 50 feet tall, and it was approaching. It was rising in the darkness, but I could still see it in the moonlight. And as I watched it, I found myself shocked and in horror because I was afraid for the safety of my family. And then the dream was over. So that was my second tsunami dream. They both involved a seawall. The first one was in Galveston, Texas. The second one, I'm not sure where I was. But I haven't really talked about these two dreams because I didn't know what to make of them. Again, did they represent God's judgment that's continuing to come? Does it mean that with every progressive wave, the judgment is more violent, more deafening, more overwhelming, more powerful? Because the first wave was 6 inches, and then the second one was 5 or 6 feet, and then the third one was 25 to 50 feet tall. That's a very huge increase. So that's why I haven't spoken about them, but about a year ago, it was about January or February, I had another tsunami dream, but in this one, I was in New York City, and I was in a car, and I was driving in New York City, in Manhattan, and I knew that a tsunami was coming. I knew that a big wave was coming. I was feeling very rushed. I was nervous. I had anxiety, and in the dream, I was looking for a store called the Sports Authority. Now, for those of you that may not know this, the Sports Authority is a chain of sporting goods stores that sell camping gear and sporting goods. So in the dream, I was looking for the Sports Authority building, and I didn't know where it was. I was looking for the Sports Authority that was red. And I'm not sure if there are any Sports Authorities with red, but that's what I was looking for. And since I didn't know where this store was, I was randomly going up and down the streets. And as you can imagine, New York City is very busy, has a lot of vehicles, and it's not very easy to maneuver and navigate. But that's where I was in this dream. And then suddenly the wave came. And when it arrived, the water was instantly 2 feet high. But my car continued to work and I continued to drive looking for the Sports Authority. And then the dream was over. So after I woke up from that dream and thought about it, I went online to find out what the Sports Authority buildings looked like. And I actually even went to search if there was a Sports Authority store located in New York, and it turns out that there is one. I found that interesting. I was wondering why red? What was the significance of red being associated with the Sports Authority? And now looking back, I've noticed, ladies and gentlemen, that many times when I have prophetic dreams, I continue to see the color red in many of the items, whether they be buildings or houses or vehicles or trains. And over the past few months, I've been seeking God and asking Him about that. I've been looking in the scriptures, and what I've been able to uncover is that red represents several things, as I have talked about in the past when we were discussing my derailed train vision. And red has a lot of meaning. In the instance of these prophetic dreams, red signifies judgment. Because when we look at the book of Psalms, chapter 75, it says in verse 8, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and He pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down." So right there we have a glimpse of the cup of iniquity. The cup of iniquity has red liquid in it. Red represents judgment. It also represents evil. In Revelation chapter 13, the dragon that was red gave authority to the beast. So the dragon is also red in Revelation 13, which, by the way, the dragon represents Satan. But is Satan actually red? No. But the imagery of the end times has a lot of very important terminologies, uses very, very important terms. And the things that God shows us in the Bible are not an accident. The reason that the dragon is red in Revelation is because God is judging the world. So God allows the dragon, Satan, to be used as one of the tools of His judgment. and the color in this particular instance is red. So the color red represents judgment, and during the time of the tribulation period, we can see that some of the symbolic imagery makes note of colors. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are represented by different colors. There's the white horse, the black horse, the red horse, and the pale horse, which is actually green. But when we look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the red horse represents war. And the war horse in Revelation is going to be responsible for the destruction of billions of people. And we can read that in Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." And another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. During the tribulation period, a lot of people are going to die, folks. So during the tribulation period, the color red represents judgment. So in my dream, when I was in New York City, I was looking for the Sports Authority building, but I also saw this store as associated with red. Now, does that mean that the Sports Authority is part of God's judgment? No. I believe what it means is the Sports Authority represents the ability to prepare. It represents obtaining gear. It represents getting ready for the events that are coming. So in other words, in this dream, I was trying to get my equipment. I was trying to get my stuff, but I knew that time was very short. But before I had a chance to get to the sporting goods store where I could obtain the equipment, it was too late. The waters of the tsunami had arrived. And when the water was 2 feet deep, I knew that another wave was going to come, but the dream was over and I didn't get to see how deep it got. So now what do we have? We have a tsunami dream in Galveston where I saw the waters at least 15 to 20 feet high. And then I had a tsunami dream where I didn't know where I was, but it was where there was a seawall and that water was 20 to 50 feet high. And then I had a tsunami dream in New York where the water was 2 feet high. It wasn't as high as it was in Galveston. Galveston was 20 to 50. In New York, it was only 2 before I woke up. Now, over the past few years, I've wondered, what do these mean? Again, folks, I think about these things. I pray about them. I consider them. And these ones I just filed away because I just wondered, do they mean that the waves of judgment are pounding the surf of America? And see, folks, I don't always have all the answers. God shows me glimpses, but at times it's hard to understand. And this is not new. When God gives prophetic dreams, the recipients of the glimpses and the dreams do not always know what they mean. That's why God uses the body of Christ to work together so that others can help out with discernment and with wisdom and understanding. So 3 tsunami dreams I have mentioned. Well, approximately 3 months ago, I had another one. And this one really shocked me because it woke me up and I was trembling when I had it. But in this dream, I was in the dining room of a condominium that was on the beach. And there were sliding doors next to the table where I was eating. And beyond the sliding doors was a beach that was about 100 yards till it reached the shore. Well, when I was eating and I'm sitting at this table, I looked over and I saw that a wave was coming. And before I had a chance to even say anything, the wave hit the sliding door, which was closed. And the water was about 2 feet deep outside of the sliding door. But it didn't go away. It didn't recede. And then as I looked beyond it, I saw another wave coming. And this wave was about 6 to 8 feet high. So when it hit the sliding door. And so I could actually see water. It was like I was looking at an aquarium. And the sliding door was not leaking. And then I could see a little bit above the sliding doors at the horizon. And that's when I was in shock because I saw another wave approaching. And this next wave was about 50 feet high. In fact, in my dream, I thought to myself, that wave is 50 feet high. I got to get out of here. But it was too late because outside of the condo, the water's already 8 feet deep. There's no way you're going to drive away. So as I saw the wave that was 50 feet high approaching, I decided to run to the second floor of the condominium where I was located. And this condo had 2 floors. And before I even had a chance to run up the stairs, the wave hit. And the whole condo shook, but it wasn't leaking. And then I got to the second floor. I looked out the windows and I saw that the condominium was totally underwater. So I wondered, how do I get out? And I was trembling. I was terrified. And the fear of this dream of being inside this building woke me up. And so I was laying in bed trembling, thinking about it because It really made an impact. It was a dream that had terror in it. And as I laid there, I thought, Lord, what are you saying here? What is the message here? Is this a continuation of the judgment dreams, or is this thing literal? Because this one was very real. And folks, it felt real. In fact, when you're dreaming a prophetic dream, you don't know that you're dreaming. You think that you're awake. You think that you're there. But then you wake up. So as I woke up, I told my wife about it. I didn't know what to make of it, so I just filed it away. Well, a few weeks ago, I had another one. And in this other one that I had, I was again in a condominium in a similar location, and it could have been the same one, in fact. But in this condo, I had our furniture set up there, so I guess I was staying there. And the same thing happened. The first wave came in. It was a foot deep. And then I knew that when the next one came in, water was going to start leaking. And sure enough, this time the sliding door was not able to keep the water out, and water came into the condominium. It was a foot deep. I started running up the stairs once again, and then the same thing happened. Another wave came in, and the condo was underwater entirely. I was terrified once again, and I woke up. So now, ladies and gentlemen, that makes 5 tsunami dreams that I've had. And I'm beginning to wonder if they are just symbolic. Do they just mean that the judgment is continually arriving? Or is it possible that this means that an actual tsunami is going to hit a part of the United States? Now, those 2 condominium dreams that I just mentioned did not disclose where I was located. I didn't know where I was. So I could have been anywhere in the United States. By the way, I'm pretty sure that I was in the United States. So when I look at a map of America and I see that, okay, if a tsunami is going to hit America, if I was to take this dream literally, and if a tsunami was going to hit this country, according to this dream I had, the tsunami hit the Gulf Coast, it hit Galveston, but then I had another dream where it hit New York City. But the New York City tsunami was only 2 feet deep. Now, whether or not the second wave was going to come to make it higher, I don't know. But the only thing I saw was the water was only 2 feet deep, whereas in Galveston, it was 20 feet deep. Now, the location where I saw the water 50 feet deep when I was in the condominium, I don't know where I was located. So the question that I have, ladies and gentlemen, is it literal? Is there going to be an event that's coming that's going to bring a tsunami to the United States? And if so, what's going to cause it? Well, we know based on our knowledge of tsunamis that tsunamis are caused by earthquakes, as we witnessed a few years ago when the tsunami hit Japan. But if a tsunami were to hit Galveston, where would the earthquake be? Would it be in the Gulf of Mexico? Here's another question. Was the tsunami that I saw in Galveston related to the one that was in New York City? Was it the same earthquake that caused the water to hit Galveston as well as New York? And if this is the case, then that would mean that a tsunami is going to be big enough to strike Texas all the way to New York, which would mean that it would also influence the Gulf of Mexico as well as Florida and all the way up the eastern seaboard. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I share this, I don't know. I'll say that up front. This one has me wondering. So I'm sharing these tsunami dreams because I want you to know that I have had dreams in this category. And if there are some of you out there that have also had tsunami dreams and maybe you've had other glimpses that can fill in the blanks, if you have seen them occur in similar areas, then please email me and let me know. Let me know, folks. And the big question is, what would be the cause? If an earthquake were to happen in the Gulf of Mexico or somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, how powerful would it have to be for the tsunami to affect this large of a geographical area? Because this is a pretty large area. And also, here's the other question. If an earthquake occurred that would cause a tsunami, would it affect the plates that are located in the Gulf of Mexico? Could it affect the New Madrid zone or the Eastern Tennessee fault zone or some of the other fault lines located in the Carolinas or Virginia or even some of the ones in New York? These are the questions that I ask, and I'm bringing them up because my derailment lines do go through the New Madrid zone, as you know, as we talked about in previous programs, and they also go through the Eastern Tennessee earthquake zone. Now, if my prophetic dreams were literal and a tsunami is going to strike those areas, is there a possibility that some other event could cause a tsunami besides an earthquake? Well, that brings me to my next prophetic dream that I had, and this one occurred about a year ago. And in this prophetic dream, I was standing outside. It was dark, and I don't know where I was located, but I was somewhere in the United States, and I was looking up into the sky, and I saw a meteor going across the sky. And this meteor that I saw was very large. It was very bright and it was green. It was a very quick glimpse, but it started on one side of the horizon and it went to the other side of the horizon. And, you know, usually when you see a meteor, it burns up quickly and then it's gone. Well, in this glimpse, the meteor that I saw was huge. It was as big as the moon going across the sky. And I've kept that one to myself, but one of the reasons that I kept it to myself was because it didn't really fit what others have seen when they say that they're seeing prophetic dreams of meteors, because most people, when they see meteors, they describe them as a fireball, as a ball of fire coming down and exploding, and there's a lot of theatrics involved. Well, this one that I saw was not a fireball. It was a green ball going across the sky. There was no impact. I just saw it travel. So this is what I'm wondering, ladies and gentlemen. Is it possible that in our future, there's going to be a meteor or some sort of near-Earth object that's going to play a role in future events on this Earth? Now, another reason that I bring this up is because over the past few weeks, there are a lot of people that are witnessing meteors shoot across the sky. And this is happening across the United States, but in particular, the Midwest. There are a lot of reports of people that are seeing meteors. And I have to wonder, folks, is there something going on in the heavens? I know that Ison is out there and it's still far away from us. I know that very soon it's going to slingshot around the sun and then it's going to be approaching our direction. There are many people speculating and wondering how that's going to affect us, whether it's just a sign in the heavens or is there going to be a physical interaction with Earth? Here's another question. Does Ison have an entourage? Are there other space rocks and meteors that could wreak havoc on the Earth? Could they affect us? I'm reminded of that meteor that hit Russia a few months back. Folks remember that? It was very dramatic. The sonic boom was intense, and it did some damage to Russia. It injured people. Well, right now, we're in an envelope of time where the heavens are declaring that something's going on. And because of that, as those that are wise, and as those that understand what time it is, folks, we have to acknowledge. We also have to place on the table that during this judgment season of God, God is going to issue signs in the heavens. And he's going to communicate to mankind that the season is underway where his divine judgment is going to visit this planet. So I saw a green object go across the sky. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if some of you have seen similar things, please let me know, because I want to compare notes on these things, because wouldn't it be amazing if this phenomenon is not just a one-time thing or a temporary thing? What if this is an envelope of time that we're entering where the heavens are going to play a role? We know what the Bible says. Eventually, wormwood is going to strike the earth. An asteroid will strike the earth and wreak horrible damage. There will be great loss of life. So are some of the meteors that are shooting across the sky right now harbingers of what's to come? Those are questions that I'm leaving on the table. We need to be watching what God is trying to say. Now, moving on, I want to go to the next category of dreams and visions. And in this particular one, I saw war occur in the United States. And this dream occurred about a month and a half ago, approximately on August the 10th. And I found this one very disturbing, because I believe what God showed me was the end result of the coming war that's coming to the United States. Now, I don't know how much time is going to be between now and when this dream comes true, but this is what I saw. I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I was looking up into the sky. It was the evening, and I was watching our U.S. military engaged in an air war. I saw American Air Force jets flying across the sky, and they were going back and forth. And when I looked up, a third of them were red, a third of them were white, and a third of them were blue. So they were red, white, and blue. And they were having an air battle with what appeared to be Russian MiGs. I don't know if they were Chinese or Russians, but it was a very engaging battle. And here's what's interesting. I saw some of our Air Force jets actually dropping bombs in the horizon toward the east. So I don't know what that was about. I guess what it would mean is that there were enemy troops toward the east. And if you're located in Colorado Springs, the Great Plains are to the east and the state of Kansas is also to the east. So apparently there were invading forces from either China or Russia. And as I was watching this air war take place, I looked up and then I saw a missile approaching from the east. And the missile was not shot down. It continued in the direction of Colorado Springs. And then the missile approached Cheyenne Mountain. Now, for those of you that don't know, Colorado Springs is the location of very fortified bunker called NORAD, the North American Missile Shield. NORAD is located on Cheyenne Mountain, and Cheyenne Mountain is located on the western edge of Colorado Springs, right next to Fort Carson. And for those of you that may remember, do you remember that movie in the 1980s with Matthew Broderick called War Games, where he played chess with a computer, and the computer wanted to start World War III, and he ended up inside of that bunker, that fortress called NORAD? So in my dream, I saw this missile approaching Cheyenne Mountain, and it went over the top of Cheyenne Mountain, and then I saw the bright lights of an explosion. Now, I didn't see a mushroom cloud, so I'm not sure if it was nuclear, but it exploded. It appeared to be some sort of bunker buster intended to take out the missile shield of America. So whether or not it did it, I don't know. But while I was watching the air battle take place, I got on my cell phone and I called a friend of mine that lives up here in northern Idaho. And in the dream, he answered. I said, "Hey, are you seeing this? Can you see what I see?" And he told me, "Yeah, I can see the battles taking place from here. I'm watching it also." So what that told me was, in the dream, the air battle was taking place from Colorado all the way up to northern Idaho. So what that meant was the United States was under an invasion, kind of a Red Dawn type scenario. This was a nationwide event. It was World War III, and the United States was engaged in a war. So as I was watching this battle take place, the scene instantly changed, where I then found myself inside of a public building. Now, I don't know where that building was, and it's possible that it could have been in Idaho where I live, or it could have been in Colorado. I'm not sure, but I was somewhere in that area, and I was inside some public building. It could have been a school, a community center, and there were several tables set up in this building. There was four or five of them, and the closest thing that it resembled was voting day. And folks, you know how when you go to vote, you go into the school and there's tables set up, and there's usually some helpers and volunteers who hand out the pins and say, "I voted," and they help to answer questions. Well, it was a similar scenario. And there were four or five tables set up. Each table had three to four elderly people, and they were handing out these brochures to explain to all of the people. Now get this, folks. They were handing out brochures as a PR campaign to explain to all of the citizens why the Chinese soldiers were here. It was to put everybody at ease that they're here to be our friends. They're here to help. They mean no harm. They only want to be here to do good. And I looked down at them and I read one. And then I looked up, and along the wall in different parts of the community center were Chinese soldiers standing at attention. They were dressed in full tactical gear. They were dressed in black, and they were carrying weapons. But they weren't saying any words. They weren't talking. They were just standing there. So as I was looking at the brochure, I got angry in my dream, and I started to yell. I asked them, "What do you mean they're here to help? These soldiers are here because of the war." And I said that in my dream. They're here because of the war. In other words, they're here to occupy us. They're here to take over. So ladies and gentlemen, according to this dream, what this reveals to me, folks, is a grave warning that eventually the United States of America is going to be invaded. Red Dawn is going to happen here. And in this case, it was Chinese troops. At the end of the war, the Chinese did not leave. They were occupying us. And the thing that really upset me was they were able to brainwash the population. And most notably, they brainwashed the elderly. Somehow they were able to win over the senior population of America. So I don't know what promises they made. I don't know what they told them, but the senior population believed what they were told. But I didn't believe it. I was very angry. And one thing that I have noted is that usually the emotions that I experience when I'm having a prophetic dream are the emotions that are correct. So when I was angry that the seniors were accepting the Chinese invaders and we're trying to relax all the people of the city, it made me mad because I saw that we had lost the war. The invasion was complete. So when is an event like that going to take place? I don't know. But because of the Chinese soldiers being at the end of this dream, I now have to share another prophetic dream that I had about a year and a half ago. And in this prophetic dream, I was in Dallas, Texas. at a Bible college. And I was visiting this Bible college, and when I went into the chapel area of this college, there were Chinese soldiers dressed the same way they were in the dream I just mentioned. They were wearing all black. It was tactical, and they had their automatic weapons in their hand. And there was approximately 50 to 100 soldiers standing shoulder to shoulder along the back wall of this Bible college. So as I entered the chapel, the door was along the back wall, and I had to walk past all these soldiers. So as I was walking, there were some people in front of me that were trying to find a place to sit. There was an elderly lady in front of me. She was about maybe 70 years old, and she was walking very slow. And one of the Chinese soldiers took his boot and reached up, and he brought it down very hard on her foot for no reason. He didn't say anything to her. He just crushed her foot. And when he did this, she was in pain. She fell over, and no one helped her. And when I saw this happen in front of me, I became very upset. And then another soldier that was next to him shoved my daughter, who was walking in front of me. Now, my daughter is only 7 years old, and he shoved her. And then between these two things that happened, I started yelling, "What are you doing here? Why are you even here? You have no business in our country." So I was griping at them, and I got into their face, but they didn't answer me. They had no response. They had no emotion. So after I yelled at them for a few moments, then I turned toward all of the people that were sitting in the audience, and the audience had about maybe 1,000 people, and I started screaming very loud, "People, can't you see what's going on? Why can't you see this? Doesn't this disturb anybody? The Chinese soldiers are here." And then I said the same thing, "Because of the war." I was very upset. So one of the professors or teachers of this college walked over to me, and he tried to calm me down. So I then got angry, and I said, "Are you serious?" Because he was trying to tell me that they mean no harm. They're innocent. And he was saying this while the elderly lady is on the ground with a crushed foot that the soldier had just done. So I got in his face, and I said, "Are you serious? How can you be so blind?" So I started screaming to him, and I was trying to somehow get the attention of everybody, of the students, of the teachers. But here's what's amazing. Most of the people did not look at me. They didn't respond to me. And the ones that did just looked at me for a brief moment, and then they looked back, continuing what they were doing, talking to each other, texting one another, etc. So no one seemed to care in this Bible college that the Chinese soldiers had come. And then the dream was over. And after I had this particular dream, I kept it to myself, and it really bothered me because I was asking the Lord, "Now, God, okay, if the Chinese soldiers are going to end up here, why were they in a Bible college? And why were they able to somehow convince the teachers and the staff at this Bible college that it was okay that they were here, occupying us?" And this is what I'm able to conclude thus far. As we watch the downfall of America and the Trojan horses continue to enter into the gates of America and set up the invasion of outside forces, there is a spiritual stupor that is taking over the country. This event is going to happen in concert with spiritual slumber, blindness, and apathy. And folks, how true is it? When we watch how far the Obama administration has come, I mean, right now, folks, look where we are. 2013. In 5 years, Obama has managed to come in as a Trojan horse and dismantle America, and half the population is happy about it. Half the population has no clue that it's going on. Half the population is too dumbed down to care. Most of the population is too asleep. Most of the population is too drowsy. And in my prophetic dreams, I saw the elderly under the spell as well as the church. And a Bible college represents the leadership of the church, the future leadership of the church. And what that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, is that the second beast of Revelation chapter 13, the false church Kool-Aid gospel of make-believe and Santa Claus, is accomplishing its task to take over this nation. It's happening before our very eyes, even right now. So in the span of a little over a year, I had two different prophetic dreams where we saw Chinese troops and soldiers occupying the real estate of America. Now, the troops that I saw in the Bible college were not involved in war, so I have to ask the question, was that the aftermath of a war? Were they there after the air battle took place? Or are some of them going to come in under the guise of peace? Are they going to enter America under the guise of UN helpers, as those that are coming to set us free, to liberate us, to feed us? I don't know, folks. But I did see an air war. I saw the dogfights. I saw the explosions. the missile shield was taken down. So these things that I'm sharing with you, I have been holding on to for a long time, but now I bear witness in my heart of hearts that the Holy Spirit wants you to know this information. It's time to sound the alarm. It's time to let Americans know that the days of this country are numbered. It's time to let people know that the future of America is very dire. America is now wounded without the firing of one bullet. Uncle Sam is gasping for breath. He's dying. And the citizens of the land are under a spell of deception. Ladies and gentlemen, how amazing is it? Look what's happening in the news. While the theater is occurring in Washington, D.C., about the budget of America and about the mess that America is in, the people continue to stay asleep. But moving on, let me share this. I don't believe that we're going to be limited to just Chinese troops, because 5 years ago, I had another prophetic dream. And in this prophetic dream, I was at a public school. It could have been an elementary school or a middle school. And there was a long line of all the people in the town. It was a small town. And everybody was there. And I was in that line. And on both sides of the long line of citizens were Russian soldiers. And they were wearing grayish-blue outfits. They weren't wearing black. They were grayish-blue. And the Russian soldiers were poking and prodding the people. They were keeping the line straight. And it appeared that the purpose of this line was so that all the citizens could register themselves. And the Russian soldiers were in control of this documentation, the records. So according to that glimpse, it appears that at some point in the future, there are going to be portions of the United States that will be given to the Chinese. And then there's going to be other portions that will be given to the Russians. So occupation is coming, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have a date. I don't know how long it's going to take, but that's what I see coming. Now, a few weeks ago, in August of 2013, I also had another prophetic dream. And in this particular one, I was standing along a river. And I believe I was somewhere in Idaho. And it was nighttime. And then I started hearing the roar of aircraft engines. The approaching sound were military aircraft. And it wasn't just one or two. It was a very large group of military aircraft that were flying very low to the ground. They were probably only maybe 50 to 75 feet off the ground. And this military equipment consisted of Black Hawk helicopters, Chinook helicopters, aircraft, F-22s, F-15s, different sorts of fighter jets. And they were all traveling together very low. And as I watched them fly overhead, I knew that they were doing this under the cover of night because none of their lights were on. And some of the aircraft I had never seen before. They were new, and what I figured was these are aircraft that no one knows about yet. They're a secret type of aircraft. They were shaped very weird. One of them looked like a diamond. And then I saw another one that looked kind of like it was either a boomerang or a triangle, but it wasn't a stealth. It was not a stealth fighter or a stealth bomber. It looked triangular in shape. So several of the aircraft looked new. So what I gathered from that was the military is moving its aircraft equipment under the cover of night, and they do not want people to know about it. And then that dream was over. So this was just a few weeks ago, and what this tells me is that I have a very strong witness in my spirit that this thing is not something that's happening far into the future, but instead, the U.S. military is maneuvering its equipment. They're doing it under the cover of night so that the general population does not get disturbed about it. And while I saw this as a prophetic glimpse, I believe that this is actually happening. So if there's anyone out there that can bear witness to this, please let me know. And by the way, folks, right now, while we are in the eve of war and the eve of destruction, if some of you happen to see some of these things occurring, please take pictures. If you have a camera phone, take pictures, take images, and send them to me. Because it's going to take the alternative media, which consists of all of you, to be the witnesses of what's going on right now. And the witnesses can be established by the small group of those of you that are awake and that are preparing for these things to come. Moving on, I want to now share a vision that I had just a few days ago. This vision was in the month of September 2013. And this vision happened very quickly, but it involved an area of the world that was not the United States. It involved Paris, France. And I could see in front of me the Eiffel Tower. It was probably about 5 miles away. And in all directions, there were flames burning throughout the city of Paris, France. But it wasn't one giant flame. It was a lot of small ones. and it appeared to be the type of flames that you would see during an uprising, where you have pockets of different individuals setting fire to buildings. And then I saw a French soldier appear very near me, and I was looking at him, and then suddenly his head was chopped off, and it appeared that it was a Muslim sword that did it. And then I saw another soldier standing behind the first one, and he was also beheaded. And as I watched this event happen, I knew that it was a Muslim jihadist uprising that was also beheading soldiers. Then the vision was over. I believe that this was a glimpse of something coming in the future where there's going to be episodes of groups of Muslims, some sort of jihadists. And I don't know if it's a one-time thing or if it's going to be the beginning of a regular campaign by radical Muslims. I don't know, but that's what I saw. Now, in a future program, I'm going to be talking about the terrorism that I believe is going to come to the rest of Europe and also to the United States. I believe that there's going to be a movement that's going to gain traction, and I'm going to go very deep to explain why I believe this. Based on some of the research that I have been doing in end-time prophecy, as it applies to America and Babylon, I believe that this is going to be on the schedule. Now, for those of you that are taking notes on all of this, I know that I'm sharing a lot of things. I know that I'm giving a lot of details, but I'm letting you know the kinds of things that the Lord shows me, and I don't want to overwhelm you with too many of them, so I think that I'm going to stop for now because I've given you a lot. Some of the things that I have not shared have to do with some other cities that are going to have an event happen here in the United States, but I think I'm going to save this for an upcoming program. And also another thing that I have not shared are a peek of what it looks like behind the spiritual realm. Because over the past few years, God has allowed me to see into the invisible realm where I've seen some of the minions, some of the way that they act when they attack, when they get together. God has allowed me to see some of the entities that surround us. And folks, did you know that? Every one of us are surrounded by entities. And some of the entities are angels, the servants of God, the messengers of God, and some of them are the enemies of God. Some of these creatures have taken the form of very bizarre animals. Some of the creatures that, for the most part, have been dismissed as folklore and fantasy. But I'm going to save that for an upcoming program where we talk about the spiritual battle and fighting the strongholds and equipping ourselves with the tools of God to be able to stand in the evil day. So I'm going to leave it at that. Folks, I thank you for staying with me and listening to all this. I know that I shared a lot, but I shared all of these images and glimpses because you need to know what time it is. We are no longer in regular days. Folks, the chess pieces are being arranged right now by God, and He's allowing certain entities to be involved in the coming final battle. He's going to allow this to happen, and I'm not saying this to scare you or to leave you afraid or to leave you without hope. I'm sharing this to let you know that God planned this all out from the very beginning. He tells us in the book of Revelation that we are going to face a very formidable opponent at the very end of time. But those people that are His sheep are going to discover a new relationship with Him. And no matter what happens in the coming days, ladies and gentlemen, no matter how dark it gets, those of you that are the true followers of Jesus, those of you that are sealed by Him, those of you that love Him, and those of you that have made it your ambition to follow Him no matter what, you're going to be okay, folks. Yes, the tide of floodwaters will come. And yes, contrary winds will face you and try to knock you over and try to knock you down. Yes, the foggy mist of darkness will come to try to deceive and confuse. But those that are a part of the fold of God, of Jesus, those of you that are a part of the true body of Christ, you're going to be able to overcome. Because Jesus made us that promise. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Our testimony, folks. That's what's going to do it. Having a testimony. And according to the book of Hebrews, our testimony is related to our faith. Your testimony can only be watered by faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And most of you know that passage, but the following verse, verse 2, says, "For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony." By faith, You will have your testimony, my friend. It's by faith that we find our victory. It's by faith that we have a heart that is steadfast. By faith. It's by faith that allows you to say, I don't care what the enemy tries to bring. I don't care what the accuser says. I know who I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able. Folks, are you persuaded? Persuaded that no matter what happens, by his blood we have victory. We have forgiveness. We have restoration. By his blood we have healing. We're in the middle of the story, but the story is not complete. And you're part of it. You're part of the narrative. And my prayer is that you will be a part of the victory. Well, as you can see, we're out of time. And ladies and gentlemen, again, if you have anything to share, send me the email. You can go to watchmanscry.com, and I have a link where you can send an email to let me know your thoughts on some of these prophetic dreams. Also, my friends, please continue praying for us. Pray for my family. I'm still fighting this crazy bug, but it doesn't matter. There's still a job to do. But I covet your prayers, folks. And also, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Share this message, folks. Share it with those that need to be informed. Share it with those who need to be awakened. And may God be with you as you do it. Well, God bless you. Stay safe. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.